Hello and welcome to The Shape of Work, a podcast series by SpringWorks. My name is Anoop and I am your host. Each week, we'll be talking to top people managers across the world on the future of work and how it's shaping our workplace. So sit back and get ready to find out more from these movers and shakers as we have a no-holds-barred, anything-goes conversation with them about their journey, their insights, their thoughts, and most importantly, their ideas and vision for the workplace of the future. Join in on the conversation, leave a comment, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Shape of Work podcast. Joining us today, we have Suma PN, who is the Director of Human Resources of Otis India. Suma is also a full-time director in the board of Otis India. So, Suma, how are we doing today?
Very well. Thank you so much for inviting me, Shraddha.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I mean, it's so good to have you here, and I look forward to having a wonderful conversation with you today. So, Suma, once, you know, before we jump into our conversation, I would just like to set up a base for our listeners. So, you know, we would just want to know a little bit about yourself and your career journey till now. And, you know, what is it exactly that you do? If you could just walk us through that.
Sure, Shraddha. I have been a HR professional for the past almost 30 years.
Okay.
I started my career journey in human resources when HR as a function was just evolving.
Okay.
So I have seen the transformational journey of the HR function from transactional HR and IR to the current role of business partner. Along the way, we have created a place for the HR function and a seat at the table where business and people decisions are made.
Okay.
Being from a defense family, the early lessons of adaptability and mobility certainly helped me. Professional journey in HR began with Monex. Monex is a US-based company. Monex is headquartered in Illinois, Chicago.
Okay.
I learned the real HR at Monex working with some of the best professionals across the world. So I was so blessed to have started with a company like Monex. I was heading the India HR operations, which included manufacturing at different locations, engineering center, as well as we had a global tooling center.
Okay.
So it was an amazing learning experience for me at Monex. After 13 years in Molex, I moved to Brady Corporation, US MNC.
Okay.
Brady, headquartered in Milwaukee. And I at Brady, I supported the manufacturing as well as the Global Finance Shared Services Center.
Okay.
I was fortunate to be part of the initial team in setting up this shared services. And when I left Brady Corporation, this shared services had grown to about 400 plus seater.
Okay.
Again, Brady gave me a different set of exposure. And then I joined United Technologies in October 2010, which is a US conglomerate.
Okay.
So you can see this is my third organization, and all throughout my life, I have worked for US multinational companies.
Okay.
I was heading the human resources for career, fire and security division, as well as UTC India operations.
Okay.
And in this role, I was based out of Delhi. And it's been a great fulfilling experience. And then I moved to Otis division in August 2013.
Okay.
And in the Otis role, I had to move to Mumbai because Otis India was headquartered in Mumbai.
Right.
Then 2020 April, Otis became an independent company, separated from the United Technologies.
Okay.
So looking back, it's been an exciting journey so far, handling various aspects of HR, IR, M&A, divestitures, business transformation. multiple operations, multiple locations, handling some very impactful projects. And I have grown. Every experience has taught me something, and I grew as an individual and as a professional. Apart from work, I'm associated with a school. It's a CBSE school called VIA Academy of Learning. I have been associated with the school for the past 20 years since its inception.
Okay.
So I'm really proud of this institution and the way the school have grown. Okay. So it gives me a lot of joy and satisfaction contributing to this institution.
That's amazing. Yes, you rightly said it. It actually sounds exciting to me. And, you know, you've actually seen the HR space grow to what it is right now. That's amazing. So, Suma, before I start asking you other questions, I would really want to know a few of your thoughts, right? So the future of work has been accelerated by the pandemic. So I really want to know, according to you, what are some of the most critical questions that leaders should ask, as they're starting to prepare for 2022?
Shraddha, the effect of pandemic was felt by every individual, every family and organizations across the world. It changed certain perspectives and brought in some new perspectives for all of us.
Right.
The customer expectations, as you can see, have also shifted. The investment in digital technology and transition to the digital platform, that has speeded up. So the leaders today need a new set of skills to succeed in this post-pandemic era. Some of the questions the leaders need to ask is, to begin with, is our business process and systems aligned to the changing customer expectations? Agility and pace, these are two important elements today. Is our company's mission, giving purpose to the people to stay and flourish in the organization?
Okay.
Are we having the right culture to attract the right talent? Are we leveraging the technology adequately in our business and people process? Because the technology is and going to play a very vital role as we move forward.
Of course, right.
And with that comes the data security. So do we have adequate policies and programs in place to guard against data security? And that's because of the large-scale automation and digitization what we have and the hybrid work environment.
Of course, right.
And then coming to the people, performance connections, the clarity of goals. The goals needs to be looked at in a much more dynamic way today.
Correct.
And the performance conversations needs to be a lot more frequent. So, is our system okay, or should we relook and redefine the performance management system what we have?
Right.
And then on the employee well-being, the mental health, we need to have real discussions around that. So is our employee well-being program able to provide that, you know, the care quotient?
Of course, right.
And with the renewed expectations of the hybrid working model, with work moving very quickly to digital platforms and then so much of exposure to social media today. So it's all the more important for us to now focus on ethics and compliance piece as well. So do we have the required checks and balance in place? Are we investing enough to educate the people on the compliance aspects? So these are some of the critical questions each leader needs to ask if they want to be successful and flourish and the companies also to flourish.
Right. That's amazing. I mean, these were some really insightful questions that I think everybody should keep in mind. Great. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So, Suma, as it is rightly said, companies are successful if they have the right people by their side at the right time. So, in your view, what is the importance of, building a talent community, and how can organizations actually build such a community?
It's a very, very good question.
Right.
And talent community is a new word in the HR circles.
Right.
And it's otherwise it was a talent pipeline, but talent community is at it encompasses various aspects. So let me talk about what is talent community.
Okay.
So it's a database of potential candidates, the candidates with various skill sets, experience, exposure, and creating a database of the candidates. Now, building a good talent community, yes, it supports the organizations in closing the key positions with the right talent in a short period of time. And the important aspect is these potential candidates are sufficiently invested in the company and are aware of what the company stands for and the company's culture. So it's much more easier when the interview and the hiring process starts if we have a good talent community. So the organization, according to me, need to build the talent community external as well as internal. Externally, we need to tap the talent. At the same time, you also need to look at internally within the organization.
Right.
So let me talk about external.
Okay.
External, how can an organization build that community? The way I do or we do is when I spot a good talent in the market through various it could be through social media, it could be you are in a particular event, you meet with somebody, or through the various sources. So each time I spot a good talent, I ensure that I fix up some time formally and talk to them.
Okay.
Try to understand them. Right. Understand their skill set. Understand what are the areas they have been exposed to. Okay. We may not have a position, but still we talk to the talent.
Of course.
So, and then that particular profile goes into our database.
Okay.
And then the second aspect is, you know, when we are interviewing the candidates, they may be a great candidate, but may not be suitable for the position what you are looking at that point of time.
Right.
So that doesn't mean that candidate is a bad candidate. The candidate did not fit the profile what we are looking at that point of time.
Right. That's true.
So, yeah. So we again put those profiles in our database for future reference. And then applications. We receive a lot of applications through various channels. We receive the applications directly from the candidates. We receive it through LinkedIn and other social media. Through various events when we participate, they talk to us and send their profile to us.
Okay.
So there's a lot of applications we receive on a day-to-day basis.
Okay.
So all these applications, we park it in a place, and that's what we call it as external talent community.
Okay.
So tomorrow, when there is an opportunity, this is the first set of database we explore.
Right, okay.
And you know, one is building the database, which is about building the talent community.
Right.
The second aspect, which is so important, is how are we going to keep these potential candidates interested and engaged in our company? Because if you're not doing that, you may have a list of people, but they may not be interested in working with you, or they would have found something else after a period of time. So we've got to be creative in ensuring that we're keeping them interested and engaged in the company. It could be providing regular updates or invitation to open events or various other aspects.
Okay.
And the last thing which is important is each time you have a position, review and hire.
Okay.
And sometimes what happens is you're not having a position for a period of time for certain profiles. So it just goes into the back burner. So don't let that happen. So instead of discarding the old profiles, each time there is an opportunity, look through those profiles or reach out to the people, ask them to update. And these days, social media is also helping us know the current status of the candidates.
That's true. Right, of course.
And then let me talk something about the internal talent community. Everyone agrees that engaging the employees is important, and they are our true brand ambassadors.
Right, of course.
So you've got to maximize that. And then promote the referral program. At Otis, we believe in a very big way in the referral program.
Okay.
Every position is posted in our IJP, the internal job posting.
Okay.
Where the internal as well as the external candidates are able to see. It's done pretty transparently.
Okay.
And my experience has been referral are a better culture fit than those hired through other sources.
Okay.
And in terms of return on investments, any day, referrals generate the better return on investment. So it's important to focus when we talk about talent community, both tapping the external talent as well as promoting the internal talent.
Right. Okay. Again, you know, so much to learn from this, even like, of course, from the HR's point of view, as well as for the candidates who might be, you know, applying. So even they would know a lot about it.
Right. That's right. And the people like us, we can certainly make a difference, you know,
right,
in the life of the candidate. And we can certainly make a difference in the marketplace.
Of course. Right. That's true. Great. So, you know, moving forward to my next question. So, Suma, how are you leveraging the next gen technologies to manage people and in turn help business achieve its goals? You know, do you think that this could also help the organization in improving the gender gaps in diversity? Because even that is a very important point, you know, that we can look forward to.
Yes, completely agree. You know, for the past many years, the HR tools and systems were focused to maintain the various employee records. So it was a transactional need between the employee and the employer.
Right.
So our HR systems just met that particular objective. But today we talk about employee experience.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about providing the tools for the employees to succeed in the workplace.
Right.
We discuss about creating a learning environment for the employees and development of the talent.
Right.
So the next gen HR systems certainly help to manage the entire life cycle of the employee. So it provides employee experience, manager experience, that is a people manager experience.
Right.
And in the new system, each person, each employee is made to feel unique and important.
Okay.
So from the time a candidate uploads a resume into the company portal, you know, the interviewing and the onboarding process, and from there, the system takes care of it.
Okay.
So let me just talk a little more about it to give a broader understanding.
Okay.
The HR system starts from the time the resume is uploaded into the system,
right,
to the time the exit of the employee.
Of course, right.
And the various modules, what you see, those modules are interconnected. The hiring module, once the TA team makes the hiring decisions along with the business and the HR business partner, then the offer gets generated through the system, and then the seamless onboarding process, which leads to a better employee experience. Each employee can review or view their individual database.
Okay.
The performance management and performance discussions is linked So the past details, the trends, everything is available for the employee as well as the manager to view. And the compensation planning is happening through the system. So today, the managers can recommend merit or promotion or adjustments or transfers, whatever it happens through the system in a very seamless way.
Okay.
The talent reviews are conducted, which includes basically the succession planning and the wider talent review process. It happens through the system. And the learning, you know, the learning has shifted to the virtual platform. And a lot more effective learning is happening through the same system.
Right.
Then you must have heard about the ESS and MSS, the employee self-service and the manager self-service.
Right, of course.
And so all this is being leveraged to provide quicker response, analysis, and faster decision-making. So the use of these systems create a transparent process, and it's going to help us measure or track the gender gaps right in the hiring stage and throughout the life cycle. And also it's helping us manage the diversity targets. So you know how many people you reviewed before you selected a candidate. Why didn't you select a diversity candidate? What happened? So it's providing you a lot of content and data, and then how the person is moving upwards in the organization. How is the compensation happening year on year? The growth profile of the person, the development programs the person has gone through. So the new gen technologies is certainly helping the business achieve its the specific people goals.
Right, of course, that's true. I mean, most of the organizations are trying to, you know, adapt to these technologies and, you know, have actually successfully, done that. Right. So, Suma, so a very viral quip that we, keep hearing every now and then is focus on your people's need and they will respond by meeting yours. So any tips that you would like to share for organizations to follow?
I personally believe if we take care of our employees and they are engaged and motivated, we will have happy customers and happy stakeholders.
Right, of course.
So my advice to all the leaders, people, managers out there is treat your team members the way you would like to be treated. Let's make an effort to understand each other. Let's be patient with each other.
Right.
Which is becoming a rare commodity now. So provide room for failure. And then let's together work collectively to achieve the shared goals.
Right.
And encourage employees to speak up, be it for themselves or as a witness. Every voice matters. And that needs to be communicated, it needs to be demonstrated, it needs to be modeled in the organization.
Right.
So personally, what I believe is respect each other, no matter what the position is, whatever the role or the background of our colleagues, each one deserves that respect. And we got to demonstrate the right behaviors while interacting with our colleagues at work. It's just not colleagues at work, but also with our suppliers, vendors, customers. And treat each customer as a key customer and provide the best service. And the important thing is respect the process and system which has been laid down, because these systems are going to help you to make the right decisions. And overall, the most important thing is enjoy life, enjoy what you do, and give your 100% and results will automatically follow.
That's true. I think that's the most important tip that you can give to anybody. Right.
Yeah. And this is something out of my personal experience of last 30 years.
Right, that's true. And I think everybody is so busy and, you know, achieving targets and being stressed all the time. I think this is something that everybody should hear once in a while.
Yeah, yes.
Right. So coming to my last question, Suma, what is your vision of the future, of work for like in 2 years down the line? What is your vision of future?
The next couple of years is going to be more dynamic. The pandemic has left a lot of lessons behind for each one of us. So we will see the transformation in the way we work, the way we manage our customers, the way we manage our own team members, and end of the day, the way we do the business.
Right.
And we live in a world where technology is advancing so rapidly and influencing every business or the people process. So the flexibility and adaptability is so very key for us to tide over those scenarios.
Right.
So some of the specific aspects, if I look at, and these are the aspects which we are working currently at Otis.
Mm-hmm.
The one is the work environment shall be a combination of hybrid and remote.
Okay.
Right. And in general, we will begin to see a lot more satellite offices and co-working spaces with the same modern day office facilities. Right. And this is more for those companies whose employees have been part of reverse migration to tier 2 and tier 3 cities.
Okay.
So that's a change which has begun, and we will see that happening a lot more. Then digital and collaborative tools are defining the way we communicate, engage with the people across geographies. Okay. And the way the learning is consumed today, redefining the performance management with dynamic goal setting and frequent connect sessions.
Right.
D&I. That's a topic which is going to get a lot more attention in the future of work. So leaders tend to be more inclusive and more communicative.
Right.
And we can see the real conversation happening around the employee well-being and the mental health. The next couple of years, the stigma attached to the mental health will diminish. And the counseling needs to be more normalized. So we need to have a lot more conversations about counseling. Counseling is okay. We are, as a country, we are not yet there. But with many corporates investing and believing in this, a lot more can be done in this space to support our employees as well as their family members.
Right.
And, when all this is happening, the business expectations from human resources are also changing.
Okay.
So the HR operating model should evolve to support employees, managers, and business in a seamless way. And we HR professionals need to upskill ourselves to meet the renewed expectations. So in a nutshell, what I will say, Shraddha, is this is an extremely good time to be a HR professional. We get an opportunity to work with the business and influence the stakeholders. And we are able to make or participate and influence in impactful decisions.
Right. That's true. I think I totally agree with you. And I think with this question, we're coming to an end to our podcast, unfortunately. It was a pleasure talking to you and, talking to someone who has such great insights about the HR space and who has been here for, as in, like you mentioned, who has been here since the HR space was actually just starting out. So, yes, it was a pleasure talking to you and it was a pleasure to host you today.
Thank you, Shraddha. It's my absolute pleasure interacting with you. And I wish you all the best. Thank you so much again for inviting me.
Thank you so much. And also, if somebody wants to reach you out, Suma, would LinkedIn be the best platform?
Yes, they can send a message to me through LinkedIn.
Sure. Thank you so much. All right.